Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Every once in a while, we gotta
the religious people.
There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one where you can stuff your face.
Shut up. Quit pointing out the problem.
Men will be proud, arrogant, abusive. You watch some of today's rock star pastors, and you will see every characteristic Paul listed played out in vivid detail on the church stage.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yes?
Do you have a black helicopter sound effect?
Maybe.
Can you make a black helicopter sound effect with your mouth? Because I'm going to need one. This is Wretched Radio. Ready to be offended? You say, wait a second. That's O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. How can that be offensive? Well, apparently it can if you're in the Anglican Communion. Did you hear? The Church of England doesn't want to upset other faiths, so they're starting to suggest that the Anglican Communion not sing Christmas carols for Christmas anymore. And this is one of the carols that was on the list, and this is a glorious hymn, is it not? O come, Emmanuel. Ransom captive Israel, who mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. You know, it kind of reminds me of our Christmas Eve service at alpharettabiblechurch.org. We tried to imagine what it would be like to wait and wait and wait for the Messiah to appear. It was immediately after the fall. They felt the effects. God announced a curse, but he also gave a promise. There's going to be a seed, an offspring who will crush the head of the serpent. Who is it? Come, O come, seed. Come, O come, head crusher. And he doesn't show up. The promise re-given to Abraham. He'll be a father to land, nation, and a seed, the offspring, Jesus Christ. Did he arrive the next day? Nope. And so they waited. Moses, given a promise, there's going to be a greater version of you. David, given a promise, there's going to be a greater King David who's going to sit on his throne forever. And the people were left in silence, longing. Where is the Messiah? Where is Emmanuel, God with us? And then John the Baptist announced, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But that was 4,000 years in the waiting. Imagine what that would be like. And so this hymn, it captures it. Even just, okay, this is just a piano cello version, which is actually what we had on Christmas Eve too with a violin. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Jimmy, I'm going to turn off the song. Get the black helicopter queued up.
Okay.
All right. So I think I've maybe got this figured out. I'm not kidding. The Church of England is saying, let's not upset other faiths. Don't sing O come, Emmanuel. It was an email sent to clergy in the Birmingham Diocese. Try to use language that won't add further confusion or tension or take away anything from the good news of the Nativity. Except take away the good news. We want to talk just, what is it? Some kid born 2,000 years ago? Why would we be celebrating that? It is because this is the long-expected prophet. The seed. The head crusher. This is what the people have been longing for. Take it out. You could offend somebody. So, Jimmy, you got that. Yeah, that's a little loud.
I'm sorry.
Wow, that was aggressive. You got anything more subtle?
I don't think so.
All righty then. Let's pod that down to about a 2. Can you soften that blow?
I think so. I'm sorry.
Here we go. Today?
Oh, okay. You ready for it?
Oh, it's so loud.
It's still loud.
It's just so loud. Okay. What? I don't crash? Is this a Jimmy Carter operation you got going on in there? That didn't sound so good. Listen to the lyrics of O Come Emmanuel. Why wouldn't they want this particular hymn sung? Why was this signaled out? and ransom captive Israel. O come, O come, this is verse 3, great Lord of might, who to your tribes on Sinai's height in ancient times did give the law in cloud and majesty and awe. Come, O branch of Jesse's stem, and rescue from depths of hell your people, save. O come, O key of David. Come, bright and morning star. One wonders if it wasn't maybe just a little too, I don't know, Jewish for the Anglican communion. You can hit the helicopter sound effect now if you'd like to. There it is. The second hymn that you might not be familiar with that the Anglican communion said it could cause a little bit of trouble. What a shame. Listen to the majesty of this hymn. This is what church music should speak. We're singing about something bigger and more glorious. This would be, I guess I'm too loud now. Would you call me the pot or the kettle? Which would I be? Lo, he comes with clouds descending. Apparently, Queen Victoria loved that hymn. But they decided, with a link to research. That's what you want to do as a church. Let's take a look at research to see how people respond to our message, and then we'll alter it. Hey, that's the seeker-sensitive movement. Nevertheless, the second verse contains problematic words by stating Jesus is the true Messiah. Oh, why would you want to sing that as a Christian church? I think the term that somebody used, it was repeated in a number of articles that was breaking this Anglican story about Christmas carols. You know, you've lost the scent, Anglican community. You're just so far away from what you're supposed to be. Let me share with you the lyrics to this majestic hymn written by Charles Wesley, you know, an Englishman. Lo, he comes with clouds descending, once for favored sinners slain. Thousand saints attending swell the triumph of his train. God appears on earth to reign. Here's the problematic stanza. Every eye shall now behold him, robed in dreadful majesty. Those who set a naught and sold him, pierced and nailed him to a tree, shall the true Messiah see. There it is, the offense of the gospel, that he's the exclusive Savior. There is no other. You cannot be redeemed without him. And the Anglican Communion, editing it out. Should it come as a surprise? Nope, not really. When the king, who is the head of the Anglican Communion, gave his Christmas Day speech, quote, the example that Jesus, I'm translating this, by the way, from King's English. The example that Jesus gave us is timeless and universal. I'm sorry. Even when it's a theme park, I see the word universal and I tend to get a little bit nervous. It is also to enter the world of those who suffer, to make a difference to their lives and so bring hope where there is despair. That's an effect of Christmas. But that ain't the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is God in flesh to die for sinners, to be born under the law, to redeem those of us under the curse of the law, born of a virgin at just the right time. That's the message of Christmas. Does he bring peace on earth? Only between man and God, those who are reconciled because of Jesus Christ. As the famous Christmas carol, once in Royal David City, now, there's a hymn for you. When was the last time you heard this gem?
In Royal David City stood a holy cattle show.
Oh, what a great hymn. This is the beginning of 9 Lessons and Carols, which is a presentation from King's College. They do it every year, and normally it's spectacular because the hymns are great. It always starts with this hymn, which now the Anglican Communion doesn't even want sung anymore. And they make it all the way from the garden to consummation. It's usually magnificent. This year, it sounded Roman Catholic. And it sounded totally universalist. That opening prayer was like, P.U. And then this. King Charles said, as the famous Christmas carol, once in Royal David City, reminds us, our Savior Holy came down to earth from heaven, lived among the poor and mean and lonely, and transformed the lives of those he met through God's redeeming love. And how did he do that? By dying so their sins could be forgiven. Quote, that is the heart of the Nativity story. No, it's not. And we can hear its beat in the belief of all the great faiths, in the love and mercy of God in times of joy and suffering, calling us to bring light where there is darkness. All the great faiths? Nope. Only one faith is great, and only one faith has the message. God became flesh, dwelt among us, to die for sinners. Imagine the scandal of that message. You don't have to if you're a part of the Anglican Communion. This is Wretched Radio.
Big news from Fortis Institute. You know how we have eight fellows already bringing you free daily content at fortisplus.org? Well, starting February 7th, our very first fellowette will make her debut. Libby Glossett, one of the finest biblical counselors in the entire country, is coming on board. And you know, people might think we're trying to add a woman's voice to check some type of boxes or appease the feminists, but the truth is, we found one of this country's most incredible biblical counselors who just happens to be a woman. And her way of applying God's word to real life is extremely powerful. She'll be launching a weekly podcast and creating resources just for women. So if there's a woman in your life looking for solid biblical teaching, tell them to mark their calendars for February 7th and head to FortisPlus.org or go ahead and download Fortis Plus on their mobile device right now and be ready for Libby Glossin. FortisPlus.org.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Are you looking for biblical answers to life's toughest questions? Are you tired of shallow solutions that don't lead to real change? Welcome to Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford.
If you're dating someone that's not really convinced that Jesus rose from the dead, like hit the eject button. What are you doing? That's dangerous because they're not actually a Christian. They don't believe in the gospel.
Every week, Dr. Gifford brings you deep, practical wisdom from God's word, showing how scripture provides the framework for genuine transformation in your life, in your family, and in your walk with Christ. Whether you're struggling with difficult relationships or battling addictive habits, or just simply seeking to grow deeper in your faith, you'll find rock-solid biblical guidance that points you to Christ. Transformed is not just another Christian podcast. It's your weekly appointment with biblical truth. Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford. It's available at Fortis Plus and on all major podcast platforms. You can find out more about Transformed and Dr. Greg Gifford now at fortisinstitute.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1646. The Westminster Confession is drafted in the Jerusalem room at Westminster Abbey. The confessions were drafted by an assembly of Episcopalians, Presbyterians, and Independents. and became the foundation of Reformed theology throughout Europe and America. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy.
Yes?
I'm not trying to buy time here. I'm not looking for something in particular. And I'm not trying to stall, admitting that I was... I would just, for the sake of everybody's benefit, if you'd kindly let everybody know about the MLK special.
Oh, yeah.
That we're doing, that would be great.
Yeah, that's coming up on the 20th, January 20th at 9 p.m. It's a webinar with you and Virgil Walker.
And correct. Jason Allen.
And Jason Allen.
You remember him. His beard is better than yours. Dude, you're growing yours out, man.
I am for
you
sure.
You are looking like a mountain man. Thank you for that announcement.
You're welcome.
Could you stretch it out a little bit? Because I can't believe what I'm hearing. We were listening to Nine Lessons and Carols. If you've never listened to it, I'm telling you, overall, it's the bomb diggity. And this year, something caught my ear. It was December 24th. It happens, of course, in the morning here because it's evening in England. It's at King's College. And the choir marches in and they sing Once in Royal David City. It's very high church, but it's theologically sound when they start getting into the Bible reading. So they basically read the Bible, sing. Bible, sing. And it's, let me see. Yeah, 9 lessons in carols. How providential is that? And 8 of the carols are magnificent, except for their commissioned carol. Oh, yeah, yeah. So I'm looking at the YouTube machine right now. And they'll O Holy Night, Once in Royal David City, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, all of these great hymns. And then they have a commissioned tune written by somebody from the 21st century. You know, it's that modern, and it's like, oh, it's so jarring. And it's so not in keeping with the theology that the other carol music has. You say, carol music, what about the carol? No, I say, even the music has theology. Music without instruments speaks. Music says something, even when there are no words. And the music of all of the great carols with the pipe organ, it's majestic, it's high, it's transcendent. With these, it's just every time it's like, oh, just let's put it on hold until we get through this nightmare. Turn it down. And then we wait for it to return to glorious music. And as we were listening to it this year, they began with a prayer. And I thought, whoa, I don't remember it being this Catholic. They were talking about Mother Mary and they were talking about it, literally about the Catholic Church and the unity that we have. And I was like, wow, come on, Ricky. So now in looking for the 2024 Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols, can't find it. I can find some of the individual hymns. They've got that. But they don't have yet, for whatever reason, posted the entire service. But they do have on the YouTube machine, King's College Festival of Lessons and Carols, 1954. So if you're doing the math on that, that's a lot of years difference. And I queued it up to when the guy is praying, because I was going to say, all right, you're going to have to trust me. The guy that gave the prayer in 2024, Catholic Mariology, but they would never do that in 1954. It appears Jimmy was wrong.
Let us prepare ourselves, go in heart and mind to Bethlehem, and to see the child lying in a manger. Let us read and mark the story of God's loving purposes and of the glorious redemption brought us by this holy child. And let us make this chapel, dedicated to his pure and lowly mother, glad with our songs of praise.
It was going on in 1954. Let's keep listening.
But first, let us pray for peace and goodwill over all the earth, for unity and brotherhood at home and in Her Majesty's dominion. And because this would rejoice His heart of love, let us remember before God the cold, the hungry, and the oppressed, the sick and those that mourn, the lonely and the unloved, the aged and the little children, all those who know not the Lord Jesus.
Is he praying? Or is he telling us what he's going to pray? Did we get there yet?
I don't think so.
Love him not. And those who rejoice with us but upon another shore and in a greater light.
In a greater light? That sounds... He couldn't be referring to the Roman Catholic Church, could he? Yikes.
The Almighty God bless us with his grace. Christ give us the joys of everlasting life. And unto the fellowship of the citizens above, may the King of Angels bring us all.
I guess that was the prayer. So apparently an emphasis on Mary has been going on for decades. The Roman Catholic Church is, apparently there's, it's called the, oh, Jimmy, would you be kind enough to Google, not V. Gene Robinson, he's the Episcopalian bishop, the first homosexual Episcopalian bishop, at least out of the closet. The fellow, Calvin Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
He's in Michigan. Did you know that?
I did not.
And if you Google him, I think it's called the Old Catholic Church, because he was kind of singing Mary's praises too, which was a bit of a bummer because he sounded rather evangelical. Other than that, so the influence apparently of the Roman Catholic Church, which shouldn't shock us, is still a part of the Anglican Communion, because the Anglican Communion, as you know, courtesy of Henry VIII, it was a spinoff of the Catholic Church. It's somewhere between Catholic and Protestant. It is on paper an Orthodox denomination. How they've been behaving today? Oof-da. Headline from the Christian Post. Anglican group claims not everyone in Bible is cisgender. Okay. And this is so flimsy. Now, please note, this is not an authorized group of the Anglican Communion. They call themselves Anglican, but they are not officially. It's founded by a retired Anglican priest. It's called Changing Attitude, to transform what it describes as the church's patriarchal, heteronormative, white, Western privileged culture into one that unconditionally embraces lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex, and queer people. It is not an official position of the Church of England, but they call themselves Anglican, and this is what they're gunning for. They give an example from Acts chapter 8. You immediately go, oh, I get that one, Philip the Ethiopian eunuch. What? They're using that to prove that transgenderism is in the Bible? And let's just say it is. Let's just say the Ethiopian eunuch were transgendered. And where does it say, and God is groovy with that, there's more than two genders? It doesn't. Besides, it appears that he was a eunuch. Jesus, if you recall, in Matthew 19, he describes three types of eunuchs. It must be 19 because that's the marriage chapter. Yeah, 19. And he talks about three different types of eunuchs. There are those who are self-imposed eunuchs, which apparently are those who do not use a knife. Instead, they just set themselves apart, abstain from any sort of intimate activity for the sake of serving their God. There's that. But then you've also got those who are in royal courts. Yep, they were, they experienced that. It appears that was the Ethiopian eunuch. He didn't do it to himself. It was done to him. This group is trying to say, see, the Bible's cool with that. The Guidance, that's the name of the organization, interprets this as evidence that the eunuch was accepted as a full member of the church without having to be totally male or totally female. God called him just as he was. That is just blatantly wrong. It's not like he was intersex. He had been mutilated by somebody. Nevertheless, they claim that while there are no characters in the Bible who could be definitely identified as intersex, there are some characters who might be. Well, you know what? That's a little flimsy for building somebody's eternity on it. Well, there might have been, so go ahead and live that way. How dangerous. It references Jesus' interaction with the Samaritan woman in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, suggesting her story hints she could be intersex. She could be. Doesn't say it. Might be. Possibly. We think that maybe, we were drinking too much, and we just kind of imagined that maybe she could be. So let's go with that, shall we? It adds that while identifying queer characters in the Bible can be challenging, I'll say. Examining gender roles reveals examples such as Deborah, the female judge, a role characterized as a very male thing for a woman to do. Well, first of all, these people shouldn't think that there's any distinctions between male and female. Furthermore, to say that Deborah was transgendered or intersexed because she was actually appointed as a judgment over Israel because the men weren't stepping up, well, this is just tragic. And this is the type of influence that it's made its way into the Anglican Communion. Have you found Calvin Robinson?
Yep.
Where is he?
He is at the Anglican Catholic Church, St. Paul Anglican Catholic Church in Grand Rapids.
Aha.
Yep.
I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to that website. Pray for the Anglican Communion. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a daily Fortis News break, a production of Fortis Institute. Life as a tall person just got more complicated. A certified life coach has declared that asking tall people to reach high shelves is now a microaggression against the vertically blessed. Apparently, being useful to your fellow humans is now a form of oppression. Some tall people are playing along. Others suggest maybe wearing headphones if you don't want to help shorter people at the grocery store. To Michigan now, where environmental wizards have conjured up a bold new strategy for fighting climate change, bulldozing 420 acres of living, breathing forest to make room for solar panels. The Department of Natural Resources insists trading trees for technology is the path to clean energy. Marinate on that one for a moment. The birds and wildlife, well, they weren't available for comment on their upcoming eviction. The scholars behind Zondervan's new Upside Down Kingdom Study Bible have managed quite a feat, discovering that biblical submission never existed until the New Testament. Their creed of rewriting would be impressive if it weren't so dangerous. The Communist Party in Beijing delivered its Christmas message to Chinese Catholics: study socialism or else. The government's gift included mandatory lessons in President Xi's thoughts on religion and orders to embrace Chinese characteristics. And the silence from the Vatican grows louder by the day. Courts in Canada have a new definition of house arrest, which is now the punishment for suggesting children should not attend drag queen story hour. Pastor Derek Reimer will spend the next year confined to his home for the crime of protecting kids from adult entertainment in public libraries. Some progressive ministers in Maryland found a creative new use for incense, blessing abortion clinic exam tables. They called it religious support for reproductive rights. The Bible would call it something else, and so would I. That's supporting the murder of innocent unborn children. Kansas officials have just released their state's grim abortion scorecard for 2023. After enshrining abortion in their constitution, the Sunflower State has become a destination for ending life, seeing a 78% surge in out-of-state visitors seeking abortions. Texas led the pilgrimage, with about half the travelers coming from the Lone Star State. The Statistics Department carefully noted that most procedures happen early in the pregnancy, as if trimester mathematics somehow softens the final tally of 19,467 babies needlessly murdered. British courts, after years of blocking Christian families from seeking treatment abroad, suddenly discovered religious liberty, but only when it comes wrapped in Islamic law. A judge's use of a fatwa to save one child's life raised uncomfortable questions about why other families' faith carried so little weight. And that's today's Fortis News Update, a production of Fortis Institute. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. The book of Micah contains prophecies against the kingdoms of Judah and Israel. Micah warns of God's judgment for idolatry and oppressing the poor, but he offers hope of salvation in the coming Messiah, who is a shepherd, a judge, and a ruler. Those whom God has saved are charged to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with their God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Keep looking, Jimmy. Keep looking. Hey, use AI. Try the AI machine.
Okay.
This is Wretched Radio, struggling on the Googler to find a statement of faith for the Anglican Catholic Church. If I recall, we did this last year on Wretched Radio when we were talking about Calvin Robinson. This was the outspoken Anglican who was studying to become a priest. He was denied because he was considered too conservative. his stance on marriage, I think in particular, and probably life. And so he became a part of like the Free Catholic Church or the Free Something Church in England. Now he's at a church relatively small in Michigan that is considered an Anglican Catholic church. Went to the website, cannot find a statement of faith. That's never a good sign, by the way, when a church does not want to proudly, and I use that word biblically, proudly put out, hey, this is what we believe. Danger, Will Robinson. Jimmy, try the AI machine. You might be able to find it there because I'm coming up empty on the Googler here. I know that it involves Mary. There's the rosary is involved. They genuflect. It's Catholic in a lot of the ceremonial aspects. I just don't know about the big stuff like justification. And by the way, speaking of justification, probably later this week, we will talk about the doctrine of justification in the context of the Eastern Orthodox Church. For years, there's another one that you scratch your head and you read their statements and you say, okay, I read all the words. It appears they've got a subject, a verb, a direct object. It all seems to be, why don't I understand anything they're saying? It's because it is. I think it's safe to say Eastern Orthodoxy, it's more philosophical than theological. And they do approach the Bible from a different mindset. I know that's hard for us to get. I think it's just as hard for people in the East to understand that the thinking in the West and logic and how we process things, it's just plain different. And so it makes it doubly difficult to understand where is the Eastern Orthodox Church at with salvation by grace alone? What do they believe? Well, I found a book. It was written by Harrison. No, I didn't find the book. It was sent to me. Thank you. Harrison Hayes, the IV. I hope he gets what he needs for that IV, because that's a horrible thing to have affixed to your name for the rest of your life.
Is that the fourth?
His fourth IV? Well, we need to be praying for this fellow. It's, Are You Biblically Orthodox? And he tackles the doctrine of justification. And this is a lesson to be learned. When you see aberrant Christianity and you ask, well, how did it get there? A lot of time, or if it's a movement that is trying, sort of like the Mormons these days, that's trying to be a part of the greater Christian community, but they're not. And you ask them questions and you get answers and you're like, okay, well, I think we believe the same thing. Why does it feel that fuzzy? It's because of the definition and the meaning of words. You say faith, that means something very specific to you. It means that you accept truths, you ascend to those things, but you also submit to them. You cling to them. That's biblical faith. I trust, I stake my claim, my eternity. I believe this with all of my heart. But that's not what Eastern Orthodox think about faith. So you say, do you believe in faith alone? Yes. But what does faith mean? Oh, there's the rub. So we're going to make our way through a good chunk of this book so that we can try to understand that religion better, because we do see a number of people, the trend has not abated. It started probably 15 years ago, maybe more than that. 20, 25, I think a number of people that were fed up with seeker sensitivity, they wanted something a little bit more less juvenile. Bad grammar aside. They were tired of the ridiculous and the silliness and the music and the repetition. And they wanted something that just felt more divine. And then you look at the Catholic Church, you look at Eastern Orthodoxy, and it's so different. You go, yeah, 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 that's it. That looks lofty. That looks, oh, and they say that they're connected all the way back to Peter. I'm in. And there's been a number of evangelicals who have swum the Tiber. They also go to Eastern Orthodoxy. And I think there's a lesson to be learned in that. First of all, I think that there's a warning to parents. Make sure you teach your kids they are connected to antiquity through faith, not through a system. But I think pastors, you should also be aware, especially if you're a youth pastor, the kids are tired of stupid. They know stupid. When we're doing stupid in the church, they can smell it from a mile away, and they're just bored. Really, pizza? Really, pizza? You're going to buy a kid's worldview with pizza, Domino's even? Come on. Now, if you're going to the place down the street for their barbecue chicken pizza, no, that wouldn't work either. The point is, they've got better pizza. No, that's not the point. The point is that you can't buy their belief system. Show them and teach the Bible. And those that are, they are growing and they are strong. Jimmy, you got the Anglican Catholic Church statement of faith?
Well, I don't have the statement of faith. But
where is it?
I don't know. I did find the main Anglican Catholic Church that they're a part of.
Does it say anything about their theology?
It says Catholic faith, apostolic order, orthodox worship, and evangelical witness.
That could mean anything.
It could mean anything.
And is it capital? Well, see, I know they're very high churchy.
Uh-huh.
Even at that Calvin Robinson church up in Michigan,
mm-hmm.
Very high churchy. Is that all they're talking about? Or do they believe Anglican and Catholic doctrine? You really can't side by side. You should either be Anglican or Catholic. It's a sad testimony when you can somehow smash the two together and maybe nobody notices. There was nothing in there like, we believe in the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God.
No.
Nothing.
Nothing that I'm seeing, no.
Speaking of Roman Catholics, how's about that President Biden? I'm going to start right now practicing self-control because I have a confession to make. Was listening to a podcast from John Kratz. I don't know if you've listened to John yet. You gotta get onto his podcast, Integrated. It's awesome. It's already, I think Jimmy mentioned this yesterday, in the top 10% of all podcasts worldwide after like 13 episodes. It's so good. By the way, all the guys from Fortas Institute, they're all in the top 10%. That's just shocking. So it's Adams and Greg's. He's been at it for longer. His is in the top 1%.
Top 1%.
Zoink Scoob. And there's Brad Bigney. His is rocking too. He's in the top 10%. John Kratz, Adam Tyson.
Jimmy Hicks.
You're not in the top 10%, are you?
I am. Don't leave me
out. Is that considered a podcast?
It is.
Your news is a podcast.
It is. It's a standalone podcast.
Stop it.
No.
And you're in the top 10%?
I am.
What? As the arms go up in victory. It's all awesome stuff. It is so good. And Dr. Kratz was talking about, it's called Integrated. Dr. Kratz was talking about the humanity of Jesus. And he was pondering some questions that I do believe have implications. We don't want to get all chosen on you, but what would it have been like to hang around with Jesus? I mean, wow. Did he ever tell jokes? I think the answer to that is actually yes. That's, I think, a pretty definitive yes, because there are a number of, they're not like, so a priest and a nun and a Buddhist monk walk into a bar. They're not that kind of joke, but it's definitely humor, Hebrew humor of the first century. Did he laugh? John asked the question, did he ever dance? And I know if you're Baptist, you know that he couldn't have done that. But the point is, how human was Jesus? And the answer is totally human and totally God simultaneously. And he talked about, did Jesus ever get angry? Did he cry in the manger? And he talked about that, you know, the difference as a parent. There's the cry that says, I'm hungry, I'm wet, help me. And then there's the, I'm just really agitated cry. Jesus never had that kind of cry, but he did have the cry of help, because he was an actual baby while also fully God, fully man in the manger. Did Jesus ever get angry? And the answer to that question is yes, he got righteously indignant. He never was sinfully angry, always righteously. And John just kind of tossed off a line. He said, don't you ever wonder if you're being righteously indignant? He said, because even when I'm righteously indignant, what a confession for a pastor to make. Even when I feel like I think I'm being righteously indignant, I think there's some sin mixed in. You ever feel that? I'm really agitated that those people are talking about Jesus like that. I'm righteously angry. Or am I just really torqued with those people? There's kind of a fine line. Jesus never crossed it, but I'm struggling. Whew. The death penalty. this isn't something that I would want a ministry, a church to be known for. It's kind of like their issue. But I think we need to talk more about the death penalty in light of the fact that Roman Catholic Joe Biden decided, I'm going to let the government decree that babies can be killed in the womb. But people who are violent, wicked, just gruesome murderers of women and children, I'm going to let them off a death row. I'm going to try to not cross that line. Next on Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, here at Fortis Institute, we've got a lot going on. We've got our latest webinar coming up January 20th with Virgil Walker, where he and Todd will discuss the disturbing theology of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That's going on January 20th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Stay tuned for more details. Also, coming up February 7th, The Better Way debuts with Libby Glosson. And trust me, ladies, you don't want to miss this. And what else is happening here at Fortis Institute? Well, we just learned that all of our brand new podcasts that began just in October of last year have come in ranked in the top 10% of all podcasts in the entire world. And that's happened only because of your support. We thank you for all of the support that you've shown us here at Fortis Institute. And if you would like to support us even further by joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, well, then we would welcome you with open arms. Find out more about what that would look like in your life by logging on right now to fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Master's University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Master's University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Master's University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
So we know Martin Luther King Jr. as a civil rights hero, but what did he believe about the Bible, salvation, and God? You'll find out January 13th at 9 p.m. Eastern as Fortis Institute hosts a free live webinar titled The Disturbing Theology of Martin Luther King Jr. Todd Friel, Virgil Walker, and Jason Allen will explore the controversial side of MLK's faith. Why did he reject substitutionary atonement? Did his liberal Protestant roots overshadow biblical truth? And how did secular influences like Gandhi shape his views on faith and activism? Was King's theology spiritual or strategic? Did he tailor his beliefs to fit the civil rights movement at the expense of eternal truths? These are hard questions that haven't often been asked. Todd, Virgil, and Jason will tackle them live and unfiltered. Subscribe to the Wretched Fortis Institute YouTube channel and turn on notifications so you don't miss this thought-provoking webinar. Again, January 13th, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Wretched Fortis Institute YouTube channel.
Attributes of God. What does God's patience look like? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." God is not hurried, nor has he forgotten his promises. God will bring about the fulfillment of his eternal plan in due time. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Go ahead and tell him, Jimmy.
Tell him what?
You know, a summary of Anglican Catholic dogma.
Did you say a summary?
Go ahead. Give it to him.
This is the last segment. I don't know.
We don't have enough time.
No, we don't.
We found it. Yeah. We found it. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy went to AnglicanCatholic.org. Turns out the HQ of the Anglican Catholic Church denomination? What do they call themselves?
That, maybe.
Well, they call themselves Catholics, so they probably think that's part of the mothership. But nevertheless, their HQ is located in
Athens.
Go Dogs. I did not know that. I wonder if that is why or from whence I was, do you remember, boy, it was a bit ago, was at UGA and there was an Eastern Orthodox priest inside of the student union. And I wonder if he maybe was from the AnglicanCatholic.org, which is where Robinson, Father Robinson, yeah, is now a part of that denomination. It looks really Catholic, I'm afraid. It's maybe not as Catholic because it's got a little Anglican mixed in there, but wow, the Mariology, it's definitely there. It's also, it looks like the different sacraments that are required, and they say things, it's not detailed enough, at least on this website, to know, but that baptism and the Eucharist are necessary. For what? Exact, for salvation? And so they've got a lot about the sanctity of human life, et cetera, a lot about ecclesiology, how the church is structured, with whom we have affiliation, those that we don't. But it's not your traditional evangelical-like statement of faith. It isn't clear. It's fuzzy. And that, by the way, most likely you're not going to go to an Anglican Catholic church to check out their website to see if you want to go to the church. But when you visit a church website, should you be in the shopping process? And if you are, bless your heart, make sure the statement of faith needs to be, you'll know how serious they are about theology when you read a statement of faith. If it's light, it's quick, it's not very detailed, then you're probably not going to get much preaching that is either, because they don't want to put all of that theology out there. Got to tell you, I'm so excited. And I'm so grateful to James. He's my editor. My book it's due when I've delivered it, but we're now in the editing process. And I got to tell you something, this kid is putting me through the griller, man. What is the thing where you churn it and you put the meat in and it turns out a sausage?
Grinder?
That's me. I'm in the grinder right now. And James he's the one that's churning away. And he's helping to make the book so much better. And the chapter that we're working on is to set the theme for the entire book. And that is that this knowledge that we learn about God, it is not intended to have its final destination be your brain. It is to make it to your heart. And that's the totality of you. So it's not just affections, it's also will and emotions. That theology is like, yeah, baby. But if it just sits there like it's in a library vault, that is not what God wants from theology. And so this chapter that James basically made me rewrite, all I started doing was looking up all of the Bible verses that talk about how the man of God, it's in the Psalms, Jeremiah spoke like this. It's all throughout the New Testament that when you think on the things of God, what is the fruit? Joy, love, and you have more than just learning. Learning serves the affections. Oh, I know. I know, my co-conservative friend. You go, whoa, 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 whoa. That just slow down with the affections business. No, not going to slow down with it. Please remember, what did Paul pray for with the Ephesians? What did he pray for? That you would know how holy God is, how righteous he is, how wrathful he is. No, that is not what his prayer was, that you might know the height, the depth, the breadth, the width of the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's your affection center. That's what he wants for you. Now, how do you grow in that? That's the key, of course. How do you do that? Well, you'll have to wait till the book comes out, because we get to all of that to try to move theology from head to heart. So, this is not to downplay the role of theology, but it is to realign the priority. And this will sound weird, but hang in there with me. The priority isn't theology. Gasp, I know. But the theology isn't the theology that you learn, that's not the end all be all. Loving God is the end all be all. Knowing you are loved by God, that's the end all be all. The means is theology. It's important. Jimmy, how much time do we have left in this segment?
5 minutes.
So I have to try to not get worked up into a frenzy for the next 5 minutes, because as promised, our current president, Joe Biden, a Roman Catholic, he decided out of the 40 people on death row, federal prisons, he was going to commute their sentence to life in prison, 37 out of 40. 37 out of 40. Let me share with you some of the individuals that were allowed off of death row. By the way, congratulations, Oklahoma. They just had the last execution of 2024. It was only the 25th execution of the year. This dude, unbelievable. He murdered a girl and wanted to eat her. Like a cannibal. How can we have such a low view of that girl that we would let this guy live? And he was on death row for decades. I think it was like for like 16 years or more. And they finally executed him, 2006. So 18 years ago, he's been sitting there for 18 years, costing people like you and me a lot of money to keep him alive. I'm sorry. If this doesn't qualify for death, how low is our view of humanity? This guy, he was a dog. He did not honor human beings. He was going to cut. I'll try to spare you the details here. He admitted to luring this girl into his apartment and beating her over the head with a cutting board before suffocating her and sexually assaulting her. He told investigators he nearly beheaded the girl in his bathtub before abandoning his plans to eat her. And then, of course, the attorneys, they wanted to stay. Oh, we can't let this guy go to death row. Argued he deserved to be spared because of his long history of abuse and severe mental health issues. You know, and sorry he had issues. Did he know that you shouldn't beat somebody over the head with a cutting board, suffocate them, molest them, and then put him in a bathtub to cut him up and eat him? He didn't know that was... If he knew it was wrong, I'm sorry he had issues. You know it's wrong. You murder somebody, you have earned a wage, death. Our current president, the people that he left off, among those receiving holiday cheer, this is from Not the Bee compiled these, Thomas Sanders, 2010, kidnapped and then shot 12-year-old girl 4 times and cut her throat days after the girl watched as he murdered her mother on a road trip. Christmas came early for an individual called Anthony Battle, who murdered an Atlanta prison guard with a hammer in 1994 while serving a life sentence for raping and murdering his wife. This fellow sexually assaulted and stabbed to death 2 girls, 8 and 9 years old, who had been riding their bicycles in their neighborhood in a suburb north of Chicago in 2005. 2005 took us 20 years to get this sorted. Really? Took us 20 years to figure out that this guy shouldn't be breathing anymore? Really? It took us that 2 decades. He was sitting there. We're paying for it. Room and board, covered. And he did that to 2 little girls? I know. It's the death penalty. And it makes us sound barbaric. I say this is barbarism. First of all, putting somebody in a cell for 20, 40, 50, 60 years, that ain't nice. So let's stop talking about, capital punishment's awfully mean. Really, having somebody in a prison for 40 years, that's nice. Please, with that argument. These people have forfeited their own lives because of the wickedness toward other human beings. Here's one, a drug dealer who in 1993 fatally stabbed a young mother 82 times. Guess he had some free time. And left the bloody body in a bathtub to be found by her 1-year-old daughter. He's been on death row since 2007, and now he gets to live courtesy of Joe Biden, who in perhaps the grandest act of irony of all time was perhaps the president most aggressive for the taking of innocent human lives in the wombs of their mothers. Irony? Not a strong enough word. Wicked, cruel, low, and such a pathetic view of the value of individuals made in the image of God. I think it's time for evangelicals to start being louder on this issue for the sake of those who are murdered and for the sake of their loved ones and for the sake of what is good for a society and for the sake of what God says is the right wage for murdering somebody. Capital punishment. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.